If you'd open with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for the great Holy Spirit who is our teacher and our helper, our guide. Lord, we want nothing but your truth. We want nothing but who you are to govern our life. Oh, Father, we thank you and we thank you so much for the Word of God, for the truth that you have already given us, and for the great Holy Spirit who unveils it to our hearts, Lord, to our minds, that you, Lord God, cause them to hear more than what is being said. The truth will penetrate to each and every one of us, Lord. You have a heart tonight for this service. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, glory to God. If you haven't read the book of Ephesians before, I suggest it. It's a good read. I read it 102 times once. I don't know how many times since then, but I was keeping track and I thought, Lord, I have got nothing. You said, what? Yep, I read it 102 times, and I thought, Lord, I've got nothing. But then, how many know the great Holy Spirit, amen? But then, he began to reveal truth, amen? That's what he does. He's the revealer and the guider into all truth. Now, I wasn't bragging, I was just saying it took me a lot. That's a lot of times to get something, but he began to share with me and show me some things, and I actually did get a chance to teach some things over at the mission downtown, and we shared some things. But tonight, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like to look at verse 10 right now. And it says, finally, my brethren and sistern, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, I just thought, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And tonight I just want us to look a little bit. How are we to really be strong in the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to teach us something tonight. It says here in 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now I want us to notice something. This is not your armor. This is God's armor. You know, I hadn't really noticed that before. I'd always thought, well, that's the armor of God that, you know, it's mine. No, it's God's armor. We put it on. It must work then. Do you think God's armor would work? Amen. Hallelujah. Now here he gives, of course, Paul is giving the analogy with the armor that was upon the Roman soldier. And they were quite something. They were very fierce, very well able soldiers. How many know that in their time? That was the ruling power of the day. And they were clothed quite well. Now, he says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, we say withstand, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. And then he begins, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on that breastplate of righteousness. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all we take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, pray for me also that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, here, when we back up just a little bit, first of all, we're to be strong in something, and that is the power of His might, not the power of our own strength. Because how many know in the natural, in our own natural strength, by human strength, we cannot defeat a principality or a power or any work of the devil? Because what? He is in a different realm. He is in the spiritual realm. And so here God has given us spiritual armor, God's armor. Hallelujah. We put on His armor, and He wants us to stand. Hallelujah. And if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we're going to have to understand how to put on some of the armor of God. And this is, so God's armor's here, and if we're going to know how to put on the armor of God, then we need to know something about what it is, and we're going to have to know something about faith. We do know some about faith. We've taught on faith here, that is being firmly persuaded. It is a conviction based on what we have heard from the Word of God. But faith is not just knowledge, but it is what? It is knowing. Amen. It's a knowing on the inside. It's where God comes. Like Abraham, when we are what? Fully persuaded. That's faith. And if we're going to be strong in the Lord, then we're going to have to learn something here. What happens to us oftentimes is when that evil day comes, he said there can be an evil day. How many know that? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the enemy. And verse 4:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, what is the evil day? I believe, or many times, it's the evil day is when you get that report or the enemy comes to you. Or you hear, hey, you have cancer. That would be an evil day. How many think that's an evil day? Or maybe it's when you figured out you're not only bankrupt, but you have lost everything and you are thousands and maybe tens of thousands in debt. That's an evil day. I just had a friend of mine who called me asking for prayer. He's been struggling because he has a small business in trucking. And he started it about a year or a year and a half ago and was doing okay. But he lost his largest contract and it's not looking good. When you only have about five trucks and he's got a couple of them paid for. But he has decided, he says, well, I think I need to stop before I get myself into big trouble. Amen. And hopefully can get out easily. But an evil day can come. Sometimes the evil day comes. And if you haven't had an evil day, just keep living life. Because life happens to everybody. The good, the bad, it rains, the Bible says, on the just and on the unjust. And it said in Peter, he said, don't be surprised when you face trials just like other people in the world. Face the same things. We are in the same world. We're in time. This is a fallen world. It's not perfect. And there are many fallen men that don't walk with God. And sometimes that affects us as well. So sometimes when something happens to us, often there's a panic that comes to us. And we think, why is this happening to me? We don't understand when things go wrong. And sometimes there seems to be a conspiracy against us to stop me. And I believe there is. His name is Satan, and he comes to stop you, to trip you up, hold you back, so that you do not walk in the armor of God. He wants to stop you from walking in the truth. Amen? How many know when you are girded with the truth, it's very hard for the enemy to defeat you? He can't deceive you very well if you've got the truth, can he? It's when we're not girding ourselves, when we're not putting on that truth, we stop reading the Word of God, we hold back, and we don't keep ourselves sharp on the truth of what God has already said. Maybe it's healing, whatever it may be. Maybe it's in our finance. God, maybe it's in other areas of our life. Now, those are two that all of us face a lot of times. But maybe it's in other areas of our life where we're not recognizing, we're not holding up that breastplate of what righteousness, which is what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, it's not something physical that we put on, but it is the truth of God's Word. Each part of the armor represents a truth of God's Word. You see, when we understand those things, it's not just something that we carry around, but it's something that we have and something that we really are many times. But how many know you can forget certain things? Anybody ever just, maybe you got lazy, you just forgot about it? I forgot that truth. Many of us have forgotten more than we, you know, have forgotten as much as we know. Now see, when we stay within the truth of the Word of God, I believe it also helps to humble our heart, because when you're reading the Word of God, you realize there's a lot of things I haven't quite learned yet. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. There's still more things that I need to know. How many believe that's true? See, when we stop and we don't continue to pursue truth and we draw back, amen, the enemy can come and we're open for as a target. And it's not that he doesn't come anyway, because he is a liar. He is a thief. He comes. But many times when things hit our life, there's a panic that comes and we don't necessarily know why. And we might say, why is this happening? Why has anybody ever been there? Why is everything? You know, we tend to exaggerate too sometimes when he comes, but sometimes it is seem like everything is going wrong. And it may seem like, hey, somebody's got a plan against me. And the Bible says it's the devil right here. He comes, amen. We are to stand. It says that you may put on the whole armor of God. What? Verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His schemes, his plans, his ploys that he wants to bring out against you. And the main thing that he wants to do is he wants to continue to what? To come blow. He doesn't come with one blow, does he? No, many times he comes, what, blow after blow, and then another blow, and it seems like nothing's going right. What has gone wrong? Why is this happening to me? Oh, God Almighty. But he wants to keep you there. Satan trips us up, and he's trying to keep us from what? Overcoming. That's why he brings those thoughts. That's why he brings his arsenal. And when we don't have on our armor, we're not thinking with the salvation of God. You know, we don't have on that helmet of salvation. Hey, I'm a son. I'm an heir. I've been saved. I've been a child of God. He wants to keep us in sin and anxiety and depression and sickness and broke. And he wants to keep us under his thumb. But we put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. So it is up to us to stand against his wiles. It's not up to me. It's not up to your mom and daddy. It's not up to grandma and grandpa. It's not up to somebody else, your neighbor. It's good. We can get help. And they can pray for us, but they cannot put on the armor for us, can they? Not really. He says here, put on the whole armor of God. In other words, the implied statement is you. Amen, and me. Paul is saying, you put on that armor so that you can stand against the wiles of the enemy. So it's up to us to stand against his wiles. It's not up to God. Not up to God. Well, now, brother, he's God. I know. But it's not up to him because he tells us how to do it. And he tells us what each piece of the armor is. And he says how to do it. He says, hey, it's up to you to understand what it is, to walk in it, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that doesn't mean we can't, now don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean we can't ask for prayer. Amen. Everybody get that? Okay, I'm not trying to throw out that. But it does mean that we're going to have to do something. Because there are times in life when there's nobody but you and God. And we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to say, no, God, you said to take up to that armor. How am I going to do that? What am I going to do to stand against the wiles of the enemy? He said, we don't wrestle. Now, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. So whatever the problem is, that means no physical person is my problem. And sometimes that's hard to swallow. No person's your problem. It's not your husband or wife. It's not mom or dad. It's not your boss. It's not your teacher. They're not your problem. Now, don't get me wrong. I suppose the enemy can use some people, and it may seem like they're the problem, but they're really not the problem. We're not wrestling against them. We're wrestling against these principalities and the powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness that are here and that are in high places, and they are coming against us. We are against not just a physical world. We live in a spiritual world as well. There's a spiritual world that we don't see, that surrounds us, is all around us, and that we actually are in because we've been born again. When we enter into the family of God, that's when the enemy really begins his attacks against us. Yeah, he tries to keep us from getting saved, and yes, we have trials and things, but then once we're born again, what's he want to do? He wants to neutralize you and I and keep us from standing and doing any harm against the enemy or overcoming in different areas of our life. Why? So that he can hold us under his thumb and his strategies, his temptations, try to keep us from victory. But God wants us, see, he wants to keep you in a different dimension. He wants to hold you in that anger. He wants to hold you in unforgiveness, offenses, whatever he can do, because if he can keep you in his arena, he can defeat you every time. You might think, well, I know what you're saying, Pastor Doug, but you don't really know what you're talking about because I've done that before. Nothing really happened much. But you're open game to the enemy because you think, see, we think, I should say you think or I think, but there's times when it looks like it's a person or it's a flesh and blood thing. And that's where he tries to trip us up and get us to hold us in his arena and to fight in the natural. When we have weapons that are much more powerful, that are much greater, that will work and cause us to stand in the evil day. Hallelujah. Standing is very important. But see, this is not a stand to where we're just barely holding up. This is a stand of victory. This is a stand of strength because we are already what? He says, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Now, I think God's might's bigger than my might. How many know when the Apostle Paul, he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Because I have found that I can't do it. And I must depend on someone greater than I who will cause me to stand in that evil day. So he wants us to stand in that place of victory, a way of overcoming that gives us that and guarantees the final result is victory. It may take a little time, but we're going to have to understand it's up to us to do something about the fiery darts of the enemy that come against us. Amen? It's true. He said in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all. Praise God. I'm glad he didn't say some. I'm glad he didn't say most. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to get hit with one fire dart. That sounds like pain to me. Hallelujah. And we can stand and we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Glory to God. There's good news in the house. If we stop there, we're glad. But we want to know how. We want to, above all, we want to take the shield of faith. We want to stop his fiery darts that come against us. Thoughts. That you're not what? What does he do? He comes with thoughts. See, that shouldn't be happening to you. You're not good enough. Anybody ever hear that? You're not going to make it. It doesn't look good. You're not going to make it. Oh, how about this one? What's the use? It's so big, we get our mind on what we see. And it looks so big. What's the use? Anybody ever had that thought? No. Just me? I'm the only one? No. Okay. Good. See, I knew that. See, I know that. He said, well, how do you know that? I've talked to enough people enough times. The devil, he's boring. He is. He's boring. He just comes around with the same old tricks. And as long as they work on you, he'll just use the same ones. He realized, I don't have to change my tactics with them yet, not yet. And then, you know, he'll bring something every once in a while, make sure you're not getting too far along where you can defeat him in those areas. If he can hold you there. You know, and sometimes we think, well, God doesn't care. God's against me or against you. These are all thoughts that Satan brings, aren't they? Not good enough. You're not going to make it. What's the use? God doesn't care. God's against me. He's not for you, but what does the Bible say? If God be for me, who or what can be against me, right? Amen. So trying to get you out of faith. He's trying to get you to doubt your faith. To say, oh, you know, that's another one. Oh, didn't he say that somehow? Oh, you don't have any faith. What's wrong with you? No, those are thoughts that can come, but how many know it's not the first thoughts we have that give us victory? Amen? Sometimes there are situations, and sometimes we panic, and sometimes we even say the wrong thing, or we think the wrong thing, but that doesn't make it the end because we can change. Is we want to come out of being strong in the Lord, out of being strong in the power of His might. And He was trying to keep us from putting on that armor of God so we don't withstand in the evil day. Because He wants to what? Kill. John 10:10. Thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, destroy us. See, he comes not just for one person. Sometimes he tries to come for more than one. But he'll settle for one if he can get just one. But see, he tries to come when he can impact other people too. He tried to destroy the family unit, right? We see that all the time. He's not just after that husband and wife to divorce, but what? Try to destroy those children, try to destroy this home, try to bring bitterness, unforgiveness, that they're no good, God's not for you, look what's happened to you, how could this be? Why did this happen to poor little me? To get our eyes, what? On ourselves and on our circumstance. But God says, no, don't look at the flesh and blood. Don't look at what you see, but get your eyes focused on me and take unto you the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand. So verse 16 says that. Oops, sorry. I wiped my... take that out, Joseph. 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the shield of faith is by us renewing our mind to the truth of what God has said concerning our situation, whatever it may be. Of course, number one, taking those thoughts captive, right? That's our biggest problem, right up here between our ears, I guess. Or up here a little higher, maybe between our temple. I don't know where our thinker is, but I'd have to go to a neurosurgeon, I guess, find out. But anyway, exactly the location, I don't know. But I know it's up here in this head and between my ears and under this skull right here where we think. And we've got to get our mind renewed with the truth of God's Word. We must position ourselves that we may what? Withstand in the evil day. Standing against all the wiles of the enemy. And it's going to take us getting it into our mind and into our heart strong enough where we know whom we believed. It's not going to work by you saying a few things for a couple minutes a day and then meditating on the problem the rest of the day. It's not going to work for you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's not going to work. If you've got an evil day, there are times when as we go to work and as we're driving our car and while we're in the shower and when we get out of the shower and while we're getting dressed and while we're moving about our day, we've got to get the Word of God working in our behalf, and it's got to be strong on the inside of us, and we're going to have to put it in there. We're going to have to decide, I'm going to say and do what God says to do regardless of how I feel today, regardless of what my emotions tell me, regardless of what's going on around me, I'm going to stand on the truth of what God has said. He said that he would be unto me wisdom, number one. I'm going to draw upon your wisdom, Father. You said that you would be made unto me wisdom. You have made Jesus unto me wisdom. And if I ask for wisdom, you'll give it to me liberally. So therefore, I believe I receive wisdom today. I'm going to stand in that because I'm going to take what you have said. And I'm not going to let the enemy win over me. We're going to have to realize and we're going to have to become fighters if we're going to win. You said, well, I just want hands laid on me and everything to disappear, and that's great and wonderful. And I do too. But what are you going to do if it doesn't happen that way? And God wants you to walk with Him. You're going to have to make a decision that, hey, it's up to me. It's up to me to take the Word of God, because the Bible says God had said, you Amen. He implies you put on the whole armor of God. You take up that shield of faith. You and I. Otherwise, what? So that you can withstand. If we don't, then what does that imply? We're not going to stand. We're not going to win. We may eventually, you know, way down the line, if we decide to take up the Word of God, but why not take it up right away? Amen? Because eventually, you know, sometimes we want to, anybody ever done that? You want to just put it off. I'll just wait, Lord. I know I need to get that in me today. I know what I need to do, but I'll just wait. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done it before. Guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing good. My situation didn't change, and eventually, you know, I realized I'm going to have to do something about it. I'm going to have to get the Word of God on the inside of me. And sometimes we say, well, I know some scriptures, and I've got these scriptures, but you know, if something's old to you and it's not real to you, you may need to go back again and renew our mind. The Bible doesn't say from what? Having renewed our mind, it says by the renewing of our mind, we are transformed. You know, that means renew. How many know if you renew something, then you're going to make it new again, right? That means at one time it must have been good. Anybody ever have one of those tables? And I know my mother did that several times, and I helped her. You know, it's quite a job sometimes to renew something. Maybe you got an old piece of furniture and you want it renewed, then you're going to have to work a little bit. Amen? How many knows it takes a little bit of work? No, you got to get the right kind of stripper and you get it on there. Hopefully you got some gloves, because if you don't, you're going to probably look like stain. Amen. So, well, how do you know? From experience. Unfortunately, I didn't listen. I didn't follow the directions on the bottle that said, put some gloves on. And my hands were stained for a while. But praise the Lord, we can be renewed. All right, let's look at Matthew 9, verse 19 and 20. It says, here... Is that right? Yeah, Matthew 9. It says here, he said to this young... Oh, 9, chapter 9. I'm sorry, not 19. Chapter 9, 19 and 20. I thought I was on the wrong. Okay, chapter 9. I knew the scriptures right, but 19 and 20. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. How many know this is the Matthew's account here? For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Hallelujah. So here we see the woman with the issue of blood. And in this case, she had it for how long? 12 years. That's quite a while. She's dealing with this problem. And she said to herself, I know this. I've heard about Jesus, and if I can just touch his garment. Maybe you can't touch Jesus' garment, but how many know you can touch the Word of God? And sometimes I do that. I say, Lord, I can't touch the garment, but I'm touching your Word. You said, this is what you said, Father. I thank you that you provide every need that I have, according to your riches in glory. Not my ability in the earth, but your riches in glory. That means, how many know the riches in glory are more than enough? There's plenty of riches in glory. Amen? Hallelujah. And he knows how to get some riches to you and I. Hallelujah. Now over in Mark, we see Mark 5, where this woman with the issue of blood, of course, she had gone, verse 25, the certain woman which had the issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things of what? Many physicians. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I don't know about you. Have you ever had a situation where it doesn't look like things are changing? You spent all your money. You've done everything you know to do in the natural. Amen. How many know? You know, you should, if you have sickness and the doctor can help you, praise the Lord. I think we should use it. I think we should do that. But we don't stop standing upon what God has said. How many know the doctor's not the end? He's not the healer of all, but they do what they can. Amen. Hallelujah. I knew one good Christian doctor, and he would put people at ease many times because they're upset about their condition. He said, not just, he was a Baptist man, but he believed God. He found out something. He said, now, just relax. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the ultimate healer. We're going to do what we can, but we're going to trust the Lord that He's going to heal you and bring wholeness to you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. How many would like to have a doctor like that? Hallelujah. Amen. That believes God with you and isn't worried about being the ultimate healer. You know, sometimes we get that in there. Sometimes people get there and they think they can do anything and everything. But we know that there's only one that can do everything. That's our Master. See, the Word of God will make you humble. It'll humble us because we realize, hey, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe there's something I need to know more, Lord. You know, the more we read, the more we realize we don't understand or we don't know about certain things. I learned some things just this week I didn't know. Hallelujah, I get excited. I think that's wonderful. You know, I mean, I remember Brother Hagin, he said that, well, Lord, I didn't know that was in there. And he said, and the Lord Himself standing there, seeing the Lord Himself. Well, there's a lot of things in there you don't know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, there is. We're still digging. We're still finding out. As long as we're in this life, I don't think we're going to know every little thing. But we know enough to get from here to the hereafter, and we know how to stand. When we take the Word of God and we put it in our heart and in our mouth. So here this woman had spent all that she had. She didn't get better but got worse. But she heard something. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment because she said, if I can touch Him, I'll be made whole. And as I said, maybe you can't touch His garment, but you can touch the Word of God. And you can take the Word of God, and we have to get it in our heart. There comes a place where we've got to fill our heart with the Word of God and then get it coming out of our mouth. Now, I remember Brother Hagin saying this, see, if you will speak the Word of God, even if you just will speak the Word of God, find your situation, find your five or six scriptures that really speak to you. You know, maybe it's three, whatever it is. Get those coming out of your mouth. You can school your faith, yourself, right into faith. You'll begin to teach yourself. You begin to let the Word of God go down. How God, we know to Acts 10:38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What, with the Holy Ghost and power, He went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The fight is not against flesh and blood, but against Satan. We see that clearly. He didn't say it was against the people, you know. It's not against your doctor who made that mistake on your body, if that happened. Amen. It's good preaching anyway. It wasn't the person that hurt you or the person that tried to destroy you that said terrible things, but it was the enemy. He may use some of them, but ultimately we got to know where to put the blame, and it's on the devil. Sometimes people, they want to blame everybody and everything else and even God. I never hear, hardly ever hear them say, well, it was an act of the devil that destroyed that. But it was. He came because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God doesn't. He comes to bring life, and life more abundantly. That's what Jesus said. Now, I mean, you could say, well, I don't know. I mean, he's sovereign. Yes, he sovereignly made a way so that you could take the armor of God and stand in the evil day. That you made doing all to stand, you can stand therefore and have the victory and come out and be free. Whatever it is that ails you, whether it's torment of the enemy, fear, frustrations, that's not of God. You can have the peace of God that passes understanding. He filled it and placed it within us, but there comes a time we've got to realize, I'm going to have to dig into the Word of God. I'm going to have to find my Scriptures. I'm going to have to be full, and I'm going to have to be the one that stands, and I'm the one that has to speak, because it's my problem and my responsibility. Now, we'll do all we can. You can get some people around. We can help. We'll try to help you. We'll try to help you find some Scriptures. But when it comes down to it, we're going to have to be the one that makes the decision. Bless God, I'm not going to let the enemy defeat me. I'm going to stand. And I'm not standing in doubt and unbelief. I'm standing in faith and victory. And I will possess what God has promised me. Hallelujah. He redeemed us, what, from the curse of the law? Galatians 3:13. He redeemed us. What is that? Poverty, depression, sickness, insanity. Whoo! You know, we don't think about that sometimes, but he did redeem us from it. Oh, well, that's just an insane person. Well, they can be set free. Amen. The Word of God will set anybody free. I remember one particular person that Pastor Dave knew, and he was having all kinds of trouble with the mind and couldn't get his mind straight. Couldn't even seem to come to bring himself to pray. Couldn't seem to worship God. But he found that he could read the Word of God. And for 2 solid years, he read the Word of God 6 hours a day, every single day, because his mind was so troubling him. It would start changing. And how many know? I'm telling you, at the end of 2 years, he was totally sane, totally normal. His mind came along and his mind was right. Not only was it right, but it was full of truth. How many know the truth sets you free? And if that's what it comes down to, and I mean, I'm not suggesting it. I know he couldn't, you know, he held part, at least part of a job, but he was having struggles even with that. I mean, no, when your mind is really troubling you, it didn't look good, but he decided. And sometimes we have to make a decision. I'm going to fight until I win, period. I'm going to get the Word of God. I'm going to find those Scriptures. I'm going to go right back here to my concordance and look some up right now. I need some joy in my life. I need some peace. I need the wisdom of God. I need love and acceptance from Him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get it. But we have to decide. We have to take that. Hallelujah. I'm not even halfway through, but praise the Lord. We're going to keep on rolling anyway. Hallelujah. Anyway, I went pretty slow, but I want us to take it slow. We don't have to get in a hurry with the Word of God. We've got to get the understanding. We need to realize it's not that hard, but it's also not all up to God. It's up to us. We're going to have to make that decision. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 28:61, Jesus took the curse. It says there that he had what? Borne every sickness. It's not even mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, I'm telling you, you're redeemed from sicknesses that haven't even been born yet. That means COVID and all those things that they hadn't named yet. You're redeemed from it. It doesn't matter what sickness or disease it is. You've been set free. But you're going to have to act on your faith. The first thing that we do, we get, as I said, we get ourselves, our words in line with God's Word. We get a hold of ourselves. Wait a minute now. So, well, that means I can't just say everything I think. Amen? Hallelujah. Start getting a hold of it. If you say something, no, wait a minute. No, that's not what you said, Father. This is what your word says. And it's a process of growing up and being strong in the power of His might. First thing that I've had to learn is to get my words in line with God's words. I had no idea. I didn't know that. I didn't learn that truth as a young person. Well, I was pretty young yet. But I didn't learn it in church when I was a child. I didn't learn how to speak the Word of God. I didn't realize that I could have what I say. Now, it doesn't say I have, not what I thought, not what I see, not what I feel, and not what Satan's putting in my head. I can't be saying those words. I've got to say what God's Word said. And I don't just ask everybody to pray for me. I mean, I can. But you know, I don't put out on the internet, would you please pray for me? I don't know what they're praying. I have no idea what they believe. I want to find somebody that knows the truth of the Word of God, that knows what God's Word says and is going to pray in line with what God desires, which is health and healing. I'm not saying they can't pray. They can pray if they want to, but it's not going to do any good if it's not based on what God has said. He said, if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He hears us. So I have to make a decision in my life. You know, a lot of people, they think, well, if I can just get enough people praying, God will answer. It doesn't work that way. It works by faith and faith alone. God does not work two ways. He works one way. He works with words and He works with faith. That's what it is. It's words that are backed by the faith that's within your heart that He put there. Hallelujah. And when you take Him at His word and you say, I thank you, Father, I choose with my chooser to believe your word. And I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to draw back, but I'm going to stand. You know, I mean, sometimes people are, oh, Lord, please heal me. I mean, I don't know what they're going to pray. Lord, please do this. Well, He's already done some things. He already paid the price. It's for me to receive. And I'm going to have to take that word and I'm going to have to make myself stand. Prayer of hoping and wishing. I hate to say it, but they don't work. I mean, a prayer of hope and wish doesn't work unless God just has mercy. Amen. Amen. It's true anyway. You know, I mean, I've done some of those prayers, unfortunately. I've done some of them, and I hoped and I wished, and it didn't get answered. Because I didn't know. I didn't have the knowledge of what God had said. I didn't have the knowledge of His Word. And I couldn't go boldly. How many know when we don't know what God said and we're not persuaded with the truth of His word, we don't go boldly to the throne. We go sheepishly. Oh God, if you could, if you got a minute, could you please reach out and touch me? No, we must go boldly to the throne of grace that we can overcome whatever situation Satan has brought against us. Whatever happened in our life, every situation can be defeated, the Bible says. He said, we can quench every fiery dart. Does it mean there won't be weapons formed? We may feel the heat of that dart coming, but praise God, we can set the shield of faith, which is the Word of God, and defensively we stand and we say, no, I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to have it. It's for me. It's for us. We're going to have to grow up and walk in our rights and what Jesus has done for us. We're going to have to acknowledge it. You and I. We must take it. My mind has to be renewed to the fact that I am God's Son. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Now, see, I haven't always known that. I thought I was a sinner for many years. I thought I was the sinner saved by grace. And some people even tried to tell me differently. And I didn't believe them. because it was pounded in me, and I heard, you're just a sinner saved by grace, you know. We sin every day, of course. They said, no, you don't have to. We're free from sin. Oh, you know, that was a new concept to me, but finally I read it in the Bible, you know, for myself. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for me, that you might be made what the righteousness of God in Christ. And I remember getting that verse. I remember the first time I was getting ready to say it. And down in my spirit, I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but it just seemed like it did a somersault. Something down there, whoo, hey, that felt really good. And the next time this particular person that was against me, used of the enemy, tried to say, oh, you're just so righteous. I said, I am. You know, they just looked at me like, where's the lightning? And they did not know what to say. I said, I am. That's right. Thank you. I mean, it kind of scared me the first time, you know. I was a little bit nervous, but I realized it was truth. It came alive on the inside. I said, oh, yes. I am a son. I'm a righteousness of God in Christ. Not what I did, but what He did at the cross alone. Glory to God. I can stand in that. I can take that breastplate of righteousness. I never do any, you know, the enemy's trying to say you don't do anything right. Why is it taking so long? You don't do it right. Anybody ever had that thought? You must not be doing it right. It's taking too long. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not based on my ability to do everything exactly right, but what Jesus did at the cross alone. The fact that He gave me His righteousness. And so here in Mark 5, we saw this lady, she started hearing and she started saying something. And when we hear the truth of the Word of God and we start saying it out of our mouth, whether it be wisdom we need, whether it be peace of God we need, whether it be a new mindset, hallelujah, amen, renewed to the truth of the Word of God, because the enemy has come with fear and torments, and we're going to get over our torment. We're going to receive the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I begin to see who I am. I am loved of Him. I'm a loved child of a loved God. His love's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and I believe my Father loves me, and I receive that love. That's just as much of a miracle when someone gets out of an emotional wheelchair as when someone gets out of the physical wheelchair. It may be a process, it may take some time, but you get that mind renewed, and I guarantee you, you can change any situation. Because the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Matthew 12:34, let's look at that. It says, by the abundance of the mouth, the heart, I mean, by the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34, by the abundance of the heart. How many know if we get the Word of God in us in abundance, it's going to come out our mouth? Hallelujah. Matthew 12:34. Now, I know this is really a faith message, but we got to know how to stand. We've got to decide. We've got to stir our faith. We've got to make the decision. I'm going to do it. God said for me to do it. I can't blame anybody else. You know, if they're, you know, well, I didn't get a gift. This was as the Spirit will. Nobody can make a gift come into operation. I'm sorry, but it's not true. I can't go up and say, hey, God, you're going to manifest this gift for them because I tell you to. Now, I could pray the prayer of faith. Don't get me wrong. I can exercise my faith and I can get with you and we may get you well. We'll get you well that way. But that's you using your faith as well, see? And most people are getting healed. I mean, at least half the time, even in Jesus' ministry, He said, your faith has made you well. Out of the 19 times, 9 times, He said, your faith. Your faith did it. And this woman's faith did it in Mark 11. And if her faith did it, your faith can do it. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? You can take the shield of faith. You can decide, I'm going to get the Word of God in me. Where was I? Matthew 12:34, I think. Yeah, 12:34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can you be in evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Hallelujah. And he says what? But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you are justified, and by thy words you'll be condemned. But if we can get our heart filled with God's word, he said, out of the abundance of what? Our heart. Our deepest part of us. Our spiritual being. Our heart is that deepest part of us. We fill it. Why? So that in the evil day, we're going to withstand the evil one who has come to try to take our land. Hallelujah. We're not going to allow it to happen. And we're going to possess whatever it is that we need from Him. Amen. Glory to God forever. Well, and part of that, being strong in the Lord, of course, is us acting on the faith that we receive, that we've received from God's Word. We've got to act on it. We've got to decide. And number one way, we've talked about this before, and one of the greatest ways is we speak it. That's part of acting our faith. The other part is, hey, I believe, I've received, and whatever we can do. Whatever we can do physically, whatever we can do in the natural, we start to make some steps in that direction. How many know if you need a job, you might want to make some applications out? Amen. I'm believing God for a job. Well, okay. Praise the Lord. Have you made any? No, I haven't put any application. God's going to bring it though. Well, that means you're believing that He has to come talk to somebody to come by your house. Tell them that you need a job and they're going to come over and offer you one. That's what you're telling me is going to happen. Can happen, could happen. But God said what He blesses what? We set our hand to do. Now, if you do nothing, then what's He blessing? He's blessing nothing. We want to get our words out there. It's things like, God gives me favor. Psalm 5:12, He surrounds me with favors with a shield. They may not know why they like me, but they like me. They're going to hire me. Praise God, because God gives me favor. See, that's the Word of God. That's the truth. I'm a son and a child of the living King. And He said, whatever I ask in His name, He'll grant it to me. He knows I need a job. Lord, you know I need a job. I'm going out today. I'm going to make some applications, and I know I'm going to have a job. Hallelujah, it's coming to me. May not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it's coming to me. But if I make no application, if I make no steps of faith, then what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. Nothing's coming to me. Hallelujah, amen. It's true anyway. So, you know, we saw here where the woman, she said, if I could touch His garment, we could touch what? The Word of God, we said. And we can take ourselves and we can direct our faith to whatever part, you know, if it's something in our body, we can direct it to that part of our body. Get specific. Hey, nay, be healed. I call you well. You're strong. I do my best to take steps of faith. I had a good friend of mine that it took him about 3 years. He said he was trying to get hold of faith. It took him a little time to get hold of it. And he'd gone to every doctor and they tried to help him. Said, there's not anything else we can do for you. And he would have such terrible pain in his knee. Matter of fact, he couldn't work for a while. He couldn't even hardly walk. But he began to take some the Word of God and begin to speak. It got specific to it. And begin to learn faith. And over time, everybody say time. See, sometimes we want everything this second. We pray. Well, we prayed and it doesn't When it doesn't look like nothing happened, then we start saying the wrong thing. Nothing happened. Well, how do you know? I know for sure, see? I remember when Hans was in Africa, and he prayed for this guy, and they went to another town. 2-3 days later, they call him up. He's walking, he's running around, he's healed. How many know? We'll take medication for months and try to let it do something. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you'll take that and you don't expect a miracle tomorrow, but we'll pray for somebody and we want something. See, the power of God went into him and it started working, but he started exercising some faith. He started moving his legs while he's sitting in the chair. Amen. He started moving around a little bit. Before he knew it, he was up and he could stand, and he started getting some strength. I mean, no, if you haven't walked in a while, you might have to gain some strength. Finally, within 3 or 4 days, there he went, walked into the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would take a healing? If you don't get an instant miracle, will you take a healing? Amen. Hallelujah. I would. Glory to God. And I did. I've been to the doctor. You know that here. It doesn't shame me. It doesn't shame me. And it's not going to stop my faith from working. I'm going to keep my faith going, especially if I go to the doctor. I don't want them to make any mistakes on me. I don't know about you. You know, it has happened a time or two. Few people, not very often, but it has happened. Especially if you get overseas, it might happen. Hallelujah. You better get your faith rolling. So, that's all I'm saying. We can do that. Do I really believe what I say is going to happen? Let's ask ourselves, do I believe? Am I saying it, Lord, or am I just saying things into the air, not putting my understanding and saying, Lord, I believe that you said. What did he say? Mark 11. Let's look at it again. We didn't look at it yet tonight, but we'll look at it tonight. Mark 11, 24, 23, 24 here. Says this, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If I can believe that what I say, when I agree with God's word, that's what he's really saying. That's what it means when we to agree with God, when we say the same thing as God says. Amen. How many believe if you say what God says, you'll have what you say? Amen. If you do, you will. And we got to continue that. It doesn't say, what if I don't have what I think? And if I don't believe that, then what do I need to do? I need to go back and meditate on the scriptures until I get to a place where I'm getting full. Go back to the Word of God and meditate maybe the same scriptures. You meditate on them again. You say them again until I get full. I get to the place where I know that when I'm releasing words, I'm releasing life and not death. So that when I release my words, I get full. I know that when I release my words, they're going to be released in faith. Amen. How many are going to get a little more of the Word of God and be full? Amen. And we're going to stand against the enemy, the evil one. We can withstand. God has promised us we can do it. We have the armor of God. It's not our own armor. It's His armor. It'll work. We've just got to put it on. We've got to get that truth in us. We've got to allow righteousness to be our there. Realize, hey, I am saved by grace. What? Through faith. My faith saved me. When I said Jesus is Lord, I was born again. I've got on that helmet of salvation. I know I'm born again. I'm a son, daughter of the living God. your son or daughter. Amen. I know who I am. And when we realize that and recognize that and we're clothed in that armor, we've got the shoes of peace, we're not going to be moved. You realize, you know, and he said that they had those big spikes in the bottom. Do you know why they had those? So they weren't moved. They could plant their feet, number one, they weren't going to be moved. And secondly, they could tramp over all kinds of terrain, any kind of terrain that they went to, get over the rocks, so forth. They've got those spikes that are on the bottom that aren't going to let them be moved. Hallelujah. And we've got the peace of God. It's not going to let us be moved. We got the shoes of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. And peace is what? You can have whatever it is God has promised you in His Word. I can fill my heart, I can say with my mouth, and I can destroy anything. I'm going to withstand in the evil day. Glory to God. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. Lord, we've stirred ourselves up a little bit, Lord, to decide with our own heart that we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to take the armor. We're going to have to take the Word of God. We're going to have to take the shield of faith. We're going to have to use our faith, Lord, if we're going to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, Father, having done these things, we stand in victory, knowing in whom we believe, that we are fully persuaded that You are well able to perform what we ask of You. We thank You for that, Lord. We give You glory. We give You praise, Father. And we take Your Word, Father, tonight, and we go forth, Father, to fill ourselves. Thank You that You let us fill ourselves with that truth. And that it's not old to us, but it's real to us. Hallelujah. We can have what we say, Lord, and we can touch the Word of God and have every situation, Lord, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, Father.